The Sittaford Mystery by Agatha Christie, read by Hugh Fraser. Chapter 1. Sittaford House. Major Burnaby drew on his gumboots, buttoned his overcoat collar round his neck, took from a shelf near the door a hurricane lantern, cautiously opened the front door of his little bungalow, and peered out. The scene that met his eyes was typical of the English countryside as depicted on Christmas cards and in old-fashioned melodramas. Everywhere was snow, deep drifts of it. No mere powdering an inch or two thick. Snow had fallen all over England for the last 4 days, and up here on the fringe of Dartmoor it had attained a depth of several feet. All over England, householders were groaning over burst pipes, and to have a plumber friend, or even a plumber's mate, was the most coveted of all distinctions. Up here, in the tiny village of Sittaford, at all times remote from the world, and now almost completely cut off, the rigours of winter were a very real problem. Major Burnaby, however, was a hardy soul. He snorted twice, grunted once, and marched resolutely out into the snow. His destination was not far away. A few paces along a winding lane, then in at a gate, and so up a drive, partially swept clear of snow, to a house of some considerable size, built of granite. The door was opened by a neatly clad parlourmaid. The Major was divested of his British warm, his gumboots, and his aged scarf. A door was flung open, and he passed through it into a room which conveyed all the illusion of a transformation scene. Although it was only 3:30, the curtains had been drawn, the electric lights were on, and a huge fire blazed cheerfully on the hearth. Two women, in afternoon frocks, rose to greet the staunch old warrior.
"Splendid of you to turn out, Major Burnaby," said the elder of the two.
"Oh, not at all, Mrs. Willett, not at all. Very good of you to ask me."
He shook hands with them both.
"Mr. Garfield is coming?"
went on Mrs. Willett.
"And Mr. Duke and Mr. Ryecroft said he would come, but one can hardly expect him at his age in such weather. Really, it is too dreadful. One feels one must do something to keep oneself cheerful. Violet, put another log on the fire."
The Major rose gallantly to perform this task.
"Allow me, Miss Violet."
He put the log expertly in the right place and returned once more to the armchair his hostess had indicated. Trying not to appear as though he were doing so, he cast surreptitious glances round the room. Amazing how a couple of women could alter the whole character of a room, and without doing anything very outstanding that you could put your finger on. Sittaford House had been built 10 years ago by Captain Joseph Trevelyan, R.N., on the occasion of his retirement from the Navy. He was a man of substance, and he had always had a great hankering to live on Dartmoor. He had placed his choice on the tiny hamlet of Sittaford. It was not in a valley, like most of the villages and farms, but perched right on the shoulder of the moor, under the shadow of Sittaford Beacon. He had purchased a large tract of ground, and had built a comfortable house with its own electric light plant and an electric pump to save labour in pumping water. Then, as a speculation, he had built 6 small bungalows, each in its 1/4 acre of ground, along the lane. The first of these, the one at his very gates, had been allotted to his old friend and crony, John Burnaby. The others had by degrees been sold, there being still a few people who from choice or necessity liked to live right out of the world. The village itself consisted of 3 picturesque but dilapidated cottages, a forge, and a combined post office and sweet shop. The nearest town was Exhampton, 6 miles away. A steady descent which necessitated the sign, "Motorists, engage your lowest gear," so familiar on the Dartmoor roads. Captain Trevelyan, as has been said, was a man of substance. In spite of this, or perhaps because of it, he was a man who was inordinately fond of money. At the end of October, a house agent in Exhampton wrote to him asking if he would consider letting Sittaford House. A tenant had made inquiries concerning it, wishing to rent it for the winter. Captain Trevelyan's first impulse was to refuse, his second to demand further information. The tenant in question proved to be a Mrs. Willett, a widow with 1 daughter. She had recently arrived from South Africa and wanted a house on Dartmoor for the winter.
"Damn it all, the woman must be mad!"
Sample complete. Ready to continue?